to love. It's funny that we're going to talk about this today with all these weddings coming up, you know, to love, to become merged, to be one, and to love. You know, I go through counseling with everybody before they're going to get married, and we talk all about the baggage, talk about all kinds of stuff, about what it means to love. I mean, it seems so simple, right? To love, right? Easy, right? No, not so easy, is it? It's not so easy because people are complicated, and people have baggage, and sometimes people are hard to love, are they not? I think it's easier to love God than it is to love people. We're supposed to love God and love people. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're supposed to love each other as we love ourselves. And we're supposed to love ourselves, but to love. So John's going to talk about this. He's going to kind of bring it all back. Everything he's been talking about. Remember, we got these false teachers. And remember, we got them all up in arms and saying, well, wait a minute, Jesus is physical, and anything physical is evil, and so the incarnation can't be true, and we got all this false stuff coming through. You know, I was just reading about all this today, and in the last few days, actually. And all these things people believe in this world today are a bit crazy. You know, we believe in a lot of weird stuff. This crystal, this amethyst crystal, has power. It's a piece of rock, people. It's pretty. I love amethyst. I love purple. It's my favorite color. I would love to see the light shine through it. It's all cool, but it ain't got no power. There's nothing in there. The things we believe overseas and some of that stuff people tap into, man, they tap into it. I don't know. I just tell people, don't tap into that stuff. But we have one true God. And I always come back to this, that God only has a few descriptions. Three. God is spirit. God is light. And God is love. Not that God displays love. Not that God shows love. God is love. So to love, could it just actually say to God, as in the I'm not good at my English, but like the verb, an action verb, to love, to do, to God. When we to love, we to God. You see what I'm saying? The God is love. And so that's what John is trying to bring back to the church. He's trying to help them remember. I always say this, that we've got an ongoing amnesia thing going on. To remember who they are. To remember who God is. To remember what Jesus has done. To remember that they've been made holy. To remember we have the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a lot of things to remember, don't we? And when we remember those things, like what Greg talked about in our prayers, when we remember who we are, and that's where John's going to get where the rubber hits the road today, and we act upon who we are, amazing things happen. Love happens. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. From the beginning. What's it mean from the beginning? I mean, we could go all the way to the beginning of time. And yes, God showed his love at the beginning of time. When he created everything, that we are God's creation, that God is love, that we are created in love. But that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about when Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. I give you a new way. I give you a new covenant, which we celebrate every time we take communion, and it is to love one another. To love. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. That's scary. That's scary. I mean, I'm going to stop down right there. That's kind of scary. He belonged to the evil one. What in the world does that mean? Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. That's just a scary thought. And that we could be so influenced. But you know, it really is. Have you ever gotten down that road? Have you ever really gotten mad at somebody? Have you ever started thinking about what you'd like to do to this individual or so-and-so and because they did such and such, and I should have told them such and such? Can I get a hand? Because my hand's up. Have you ever been betrayed? Man, betrayal is nasty. It feels like somebody just took your trust and they just stomped it in the ground. Hate begets hate. Love begets love. And it says in Scripture that you cannot counter hate with hate. We know that because how many world wars do we have, or Korean War, or Vietnam War, or Romans, or Centurions, over centuries, thousands upon thousands of years, we have tried to fight hate with hate, and it does not work. All we end up with is pure devastation. You ever see the landscape like in Germany after they got done? And then we spend billions and billions of dollars to rebuild it just so we can blow it all up. It's a bit crazy, don't you think? Hate begets hate. Love not only begets love, but love overcomes hate. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. I've been looking at this morning. That's a kind of a puzzling phrase. Anyone who does not love remains in death. What does remain mean? Stay. In order to stay, you have to already be, right? So we already have to be in death in order to remain in death, right? And you're following? So anyone who does not love, God is love. I'm just trying to work this thing out. I've been working it out in my head here. Anyone who does not love in God remains in death. Without God, we're stuck. Hello, world. Without God, we remain in death. Death of what? Death of everything. Death of spirit, first and foremost. We don't have the Spirit of God in us. We don't have that energy in us. We don't have that joy, that love, that peace, that patience in us. We have, like Cain, darkness. Without God, remember, God is spirit, God is love, and God is light. Without God, we don't have that light in us to overcome the darkness of the death. Because that death is already in us from the get, right? Because we're separated from God, we don't have God until we take God in. That's what I think John's trying to tell them. He's trying, remember, he's dealing with these Gnostics. He's dealing with all this false religion. He's trying to get the people to understand what's really going on. And he goes really deep. You know, this is another book where, you know, John is like, when you read the Gospel of John, it's completely different than the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different world. John is at this supernatural level about the Holy Spirit that he is imparting upon us. And that's what he's doing in 1 and 2 John as well. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Huh. What do we do with that? Hate is a murderer. What are we murdering?
Ourselves.
Man, Mike is on target today, man. We are, first and foremost, we are murdering ourselves. We're murdering our own spirit. We're murdering the spirit. We're murdering with a thought of what we think of somebody else. We're causing ourselves such incredible anxiety by having these thoughts, and nobody else knows what you're thinking anyways. So it's kind of stupid anyways, right? Yeah, I'm going to do this, but I never said a word to you, so you don't even know I'm thinking it. I'm just having this old party in my head, right? It's not a fun party. It's kind of a depressing party. So Mike is dead on. We are murdering ourselves first and foremost. Once
hate can cause physical issues too.
Hate can cause physical issues. It's well known. I'm reading a new book by the same authors I use for what I do, marriage counseling. And they have a book called The Space Between. I'm just starting it. And that in every relationship, we have a space between us, okay? And it's my choice, how do I fill that space? And if I fill it with anger and hate and everything else, well, it's not a good space, though, is it? But if I fill it with love and joy and peace, it's a uniting space. I just started in the... I think that's something. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So I went through a point of view there. So, we know that God is love. We know that hate is from the enemy. But we need to do better than just simply give lip service and say we're going to do this or that. And that's what John's getting at now. If we have material possessions and we see somebody in need, but we it says, and I think in James, what, hey, you know, you're cold, go get a blanket, but I don't give you a blanket. Especially if I have two blankets, we need to do a little spiritual check there, don't we? We need to show our love in action. How do we do that? How do we do that? I think one of the first ways we can do that is we can pray for somebody. It's a powerful thing. It's an action. It's an action verb to pray when we pray for someone. We can supply some of the needs. We can help somebody out. We can see that they need something. You know, a lot of times, you know what people really need? You know what they need more than anything else?
Jesus.
A listening ear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just need to have you hear them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but listening is not my strongest suit. I'm working on it, but listening is not my strongest suit. It says, James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I'm quick to speak and slow to listen, okay? I think there's a lot of people that have that same malady that I have. Dear children, let us not Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest. You know, a resting heart is a beautiful thing. A calm spirit is a beautiful thing. Being at peace with oneself is a beautiful thing. And God in us gives us that. I'm going to be talking about that in one of the ceremonies I'm going to be doing, that the Holy Spirit gives us this fruit of peace. Regardless of circumstances, no matter how hectic it gets, no matter how crazed out, no matter how many things go wrong, no matter how many health crises, no matter how many phone calls, the Holy Spirit gives us perfect peace. How we do about that? The Holy Spirit gives us perfect patience. Man, if I could bottle that one up, I'd be a multi-billionaire overnight, because people don't have a lot of patience. The Holy Spirit gives us kindness. I swear, if we could just be kind with one another, we would revolutionize this entire world. What's it say?
Be kind.
Be kind. Sometimes we just need a little reminder, be kind. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. What's He talking about there? He's talking about like when we start, you know, beating ourselves up. I call it the holy stick. And we keep beating ourselves to the holy stick that we don't do good enough, and we did this wrong, we did that wrong, and I'm not holy enough, and I made another mistake, and I didn't do this right. And when we do that, all we're doing is condemning ourselves, or the enemy is condemning us. But all of it is lies. All of it is out of perspective. But what it says here is that God knows better. God knows how well you're doing. Yeah, I'll tell you, there's this little exercise. I've given it to people. They don't always do it, but I will give it to you today, and I do ask you to do it. So I want you to write down, how are you doing? I want you to write down, how are you doing in your relationships? How are you doing with your family? How are you doing with your finances? How are you doing with your goals? How are you doing with anything and anything, everything you can think of, okay? So it'll probably be about a half a page by the time you get done. Just write down, and well, I'm doing okay in finances, and you know, I make bills, and you know, my relationships, I seem to be good, and people are good with me, and you know, but I have some issues here with some of this other stuff, and you know, write it all down. Once you write it all down, I want you to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to ask Him a simple question. Lord, how am I doing? And it might take you a day or two and keep asking the same question, but He'll answer. And then I want you to write down what He tells you. And then I want you to compare the answers. And when you do that, you can come back to me and tell me what you wrote down in the first place. You can tell me what He told you, and you can tell me your comparison, and then I will tell you what He told me. Because what He told me blew my mind. And it was cryptic, and nobody else would understand what He said, but I knew exactly what He said immediately. It may be cryptic for you, or it may be straightforward, I don't know. But God knows you better than you know yourself, is what we're saying here. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, so we're cool, we're good with our own conscience, we're good with our own heart, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. I think what Greg was demonstrating there is right on line with that. That, you know, as we go over and above our initial reaction, as we just let God take over and let the Holy Spirit handle the situation, as we take a pause and put our own emotions and feelings on the back burner for a minute and let the Holy Spirit speak, we'll watch amazing things happen. Like George coming out and saying, well, you know, what was really going on is I'm going through this horrible divorce, and hey, you know, I just lost my parent, and I'm really grieving. And all of a sudden,
it's just like this sun breaks through all these clouds. Because we live in the clouds, but the sun is right underneath those clouds, ready to burst out. And this is his command. We've got two more verses. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. You know, it's on our entryway to the sanctuary. Love God, love others, do it with all your heart. We've had it up there for over 10 years now, or at least 8 or 9. You know, and it really boils down to that, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that was hard enough. Because that means God comes first in everything. Everything, every thought, everything we do, God first, God first, God first, God. How are we doing with that? God first, God first, God first. In everything, God first. And we are to love our neighbor as, how are we doing with that one? As ourselves. Even if they get on our nerves, even if they don't treat us right, even if they are not kind to us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So, you know, there's this constant thing that we got going on. And if we're going to be honest, are we going to be honest today? If we're going to be honest, we deal with doubt. Do we ever deal with doubt? Come on now. Because, I mean, we have these minds that process all this information and all this logic and all these, then we have all these emotions and all these feelings, and between our feelings and our emotions and our minds, it gets all jumbled. Does it all get jumbled up? But God knew that. So God said, you know what? I'm going to put this provision in you. I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to give you this well you can tap into for living water. And all you got to do is you got that amnesia thing still going on. All you got to do is remember that the Holy Spirit is in you. So I'm going to give you another assignment today. This one is the most important. Every day, first thing, in your first prayers that you say during the day, whenever you say your first prayers, I want you to incorporate this. Dear Holy Spirit, fill me. Boom. That's magic. Because what it does is it helps you remember that amnesia thing, that the Holy Spirit is in you. And we keep forgetting that. It empowers the Holy Spirit to work in you. Because you can also say, Dear Holy Spirit, fill me, and Dear Holy Spirit, take control. Uh-oh. That means I got to let go of the reins. And then if you want to get real gutsy, and I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it many, many more times, say, Dear Holy Spirit, convict me. And he'll do a gentle conviction, or maybe not so gentle, I don't know. But whichever way, he'll be speaking to you. I've been doing a new thing in prayer lately, and it's been kind of amazing. And that is, in prayer, you know, I'm not good about listening. Remember I said I'm not good about listening? So I've been trying to consciously listen in prayer. So, first thing I say in my prayers is, Dear Holy Spirit, fill me. And Dear Holy Spirit, take control. And if I'm gutsy that day, I'll say, Dear Holy Spirit, convict me, and we'll have a little conversation about all that. But then I'm just trying, and this is really difficult for me, to just stop thinking. Stop any kind of thought processes and say, Dear Father God, I just want to listen. I just want to listen to what you want to tell me right now. And you know what? He tells me stuff. He tells me stuff, and now I'm starting to build a little diary on my phone, and I write down, it's just for me, I'm bullet points. If you look at my messages, they're all bullet points. It's all about bullet points for me. It's not paragraphs. Other people, it might be paragraphs or maybe a whole half pager. But for me, it's bullet points. And he'll tell me a bullet point. And it'll be this great insight about something I need to do or something I need to change or better yet, something I already am. But I'm not giving myself any credit for it. Or a situation of how I handled it, and it was better than I thought. It's an amazing discovery as we listen to God. Because see what it said. Look what it said. The one who keeps God's commands, lives in Him. So if we do what God wants us to do, we live in God. That's what that's saying. And He in them, and then we live in God, and He lives in us. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us, the Spirit that lives in us. So what do we do with all this? We live in love. Remember? It was to love. We live in love. We love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And then the operative word there is all. With all, underlined, circled, highlighted. With all of our heart. All, underlined, circled, highlighted. All of our mind. With all of our strength. All, underlined, circled, highlighted. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. So that means we get to love ourselves first of all, because we can't love our neighbor unless we love ourselves first of all. It's got to be like we're loving me so I can love you, so I love you as much as, if I don't love me very much, I'm not going to be loving you all that much either, right? So we start there. And it's with all your heart. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your instruction. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. Dear Father God, we thank you for our Lord Jesus who made all of this possible. We thank you that we are one with you, that we are one with one another, and that we can not only speak love, but we can do love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Father God, that we are more than we can imagine. And grows. Look at Galatians 5. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. All of that is already in us, just waiting to come out. And every time we have a hard situation, Every time we have a health crisis, every time we have something we don't like, which is a lot, it is an opportunity to let that seed grow and blossom and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you give us this seed, that you are in us, that you empower us, that you change and transform us. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. We will try the hardest we can to love our neighbor. We will try our hardest to love ourselves. We will follow your commands. We will be who you have called us to be. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus.